right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. If you're not familiar with my show, you can head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to kuci.org. We have an incredible mix of talent here at the station, from public affairs shows to music shows, everything for everyone. It's wonderful. KUCI.org, and you can also visit our socials at KUCI-FM. So in the second half of the show, I'm featuring the film Life After, a film by Reed Davenport, and he also produced I Didn't See You There, and he vigorously probes the legacy of Elizabeth Bouvier, a disabled California woman who at the age of 26 sought the right to die. And before we begin our conversation, I just want to give you a heads up that this film does deal with assisted suicide and the death of disabled people. So if this is a sensitive subject, you might not want to listen to this conversation. If you want to just know more about this film, again, everything is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I'm going to be in conversation with director Reed Davenport and producer Colleen Casingham. And I have the trailer up on the show blog as well, and they're joining us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, thank you for having us.
Thank you for producing this film. This was a very powerful, moving story. How did you, the two of you, come together and decide to produce this? Maybe we'll start with you, Reed.
I heard a talk by the president of Multitude Films yesterday, accompanied by Colleen, and I thought to myself, I want to work with them. Mm-hmm. And so I called, pitched them, and they identified with the project, and I was lucky enough that they took it on.
Fantastic. And Colleen, tell me about your collaboration with Reed.
Well, it's been one of the highlights of my you know, short career so far. It's been a real pleasure to work with Reed. He's an incredible thinker and artist, and you know, when he approached us with this film, I knew that I wanted to work on it. I wanted to produce it because I saw from my experience of having my own perspective really expand around ideas of autonomy, dignity, and disability justice, and things like how we care for people in our society. I realized that that same perspective shift could happen for a lot of other people in a way that doesn't often happen, doesn't always happen in documentary films. And so I was really excited to make this film and hope that we sort of recreated that same revelatory journey across the experience of the film for others as well.
It's incredible. It was such a moving film. It must have been emotional for both of you to make. I want to ask Reed this question. Tell me about your perception of Elizabeth. Did it change during this film? Did you have new insights into her life?
I mean, I would like to think it got colored in. I wouldn't say it changed, but it deepened. I really feel like I got to know her beyond the archival footage of in the courtroom, and what I read about her through talking to her sisters and having them share the pictures and the videos of her. So it really deepened my understanding of who she was and made me fully appreciate her life and her experiences.
Yes. So just hearing you say, you know, these conversations with the sisters, this must have filled in a lot of, it's like a puzzle, you know, and you're looking for the pieces. Now, I didn't tell the listeners the focus of this film. Colleen, maybe you would like to share a little bit about Elizabeth?
Sure. Elizabeth Bouvet was a disabled Californian woman who, at the age of 26, filed a lawsuit for the right to starve to death. She as the reason at the time for why she wanted to do so. She, you know, she attributed it to being disabled and to not being able to live life the way that she wanted to. But the media really ran with this news story. She was on the nightly news every night for a few years as the course of the case went through. The film starts with her historical case and really opens up to talk about things like why we give disabled people the right to die before providing and allowing for them to live lives in which they can thrive. Mm-hmm. And so it looks at the contemporary debate around assisted suicide, but through a disability lens. And, you know, from my perspective, there is so much that's missing from the conversation. But we think I'm a progressive person. I have sort of leftist politics, and I historically have thought of the issue of assisted suicide as being about autonomy.
Yes.
But the film really takes a big step back to look at what true autonomy looks like in a society that is classist and ableist and racist mm-hmm. and complicates that picture and sort of looks at what might we be able to do differently for the folks in society who for anyone who needs to rely on the systems of care and resources, which at some point in our lives will be all of us. And so disabled people feel the implications of those systems first and most acutely, but these are questions that affect all of us, issues of healthcare, isolation.
Yes. Reed, it was very, thank you for sharing that, Colleen. Reed, it was so emotional when you finally find out that you will never, you know, get to meet Elizabeth. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was probably, in my filmmaking career, probably the most emotion I ever felt related to a film. We were only going to get a certain depth of a picture of Elizabeth without really being able to talk with her. I mean, it was sad. Mm-hmm. It's not really simple, but I don't really know how else to put it. I thought maybe if we talked, I could see another side of her for the film, and mm-hmm. it would be really rewarding for me personally to meet this woman that I was so interested in and wanted to know so much about. So it was definitely kind of this finite limit to what we will get to say about Elizabeth.
Yes. And Reed, was this a sort of closure for you? Some kind of deeper meaning?
I don't know. I guess it was closure. I guess this kind of put some of the questions to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what was really interesting is that actually, the film was never about whether Elizabeth was alive or dead.
Mm-hmm.
It was about how she lived after she was out of the library. And I think we excavated a lot of those details from her sisters and from the footage and pictures we were able to get our hands on.
Yes. I like how you used the word excavated, Reed. It's really so true. Colleen, tell me a little bit more about the process of making this film. Any aha moments?
Aha moments. Interesting. Well, it was a really long process, and it started with deep research. We spent a long time sort of tracking ongoing news stories, especially in Canada, where assisted suicide has been legalized for disabled people on the basis of disability, and that we were seeing the fallout of that legislation over the first couple of years of making the film and tracking that closely.
Excuse me, that was Bill C-7? Is that what that was? Bill C-7, okay.
Bill C-7, okay. Correct. So they passed assisted suicide for terminally ill people in 2016, and then 4 years later expanded it to disabled people, even if their death is not reasonably foreseeable. And so that kicked off a whole set of questions in our inquiry about why that is the case, mm-hmm. and how, on what basis or judgment is that deemed accessible, and how is that manifesting in people's lives? And why are people choosing to end their lives? And what we found was really disabled folks who were accessing Track 2 MAID, often it was on the basis of poverty or a lack of resources, or being faced with no alternative except being forced into an institution. Mm-hmm. Things like this. It's not about being disabled. It's about how society makes the experience of being disabled,
yes.
and the discrimination and lack of resources that accompany that. So that was a painful line of inquiry that we had to be laser focused on, and meeting with folks going through these decisions was really heartbreaking.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, one of the hardest parts of making this film was creating sort of a set of ethics and protocols for ourselves as filmmakers, such that we did no harm in the process of making the film, and asking people to share their stories or participate. Mm-hmm. And so that was certainly a challenging part of the process, but one that I'm proud of how we handled it.
You really did integrate some very emotionally moving stories, but I felt that they were all so important in connecting it back to Elizabeth. I mean, for instance, the 14-year-old girl is a Jamaica Bolin who suffered from spinal muscular atrophy, correct?
Jerica. Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about that, Reed? How that story was so important to you?
Sure. I mean, Jerica was a 14-year-old disabled woman, girl, adolescent, who wanted to kill herself, and her community kind of rallied around her decision to die. And on the surface, you would think it was bodily autonomy, but mm-hmm. how can we trust any teenager to with the last one, that decision? That wouldn't have happened if Jericho was not disabled. So what does that really say about our attitude towards disability and the discrepancy in value we place on disabled versus non-disabled life?
Yeah. Well, it really made me think more about, honoring people's wishes. It's a very complex issue, as I'm sure you can attest to.
I think when we talk about honoring people's wishes, we should also contemplate how they got there.
Yes.
If we've been given opportunities to live a life of their own design, mm-hmm. and if they haven't, how can we rectify that or enable them more autonomy over their life so they don't have to you're the only option to exercise autonomy isn't over how they die.
Yes. No, it does say a lot about, dignity and choice and quality of life. Colleen, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think I'll just add on the subject of dignity.
Yes.
of course, we believe that every person has inherent worth and dignity that can't be altered or taken away. But there's this other form of dignity that is about how we uphold each other's dignity in society collectively. And I think the way that we do that is by insisting that people have what they need to thrive, whether that is accessible healthcare, whether that is the ability to live, free from dominion by others, and that manifests in many different forms. And so I think we need to be talking about what true autonomy looks like in society, which goes hand in hand with care and interdependence. It doesn't have, it doesn't have much to do with this sort of typically American idea of what independence looks like. Independence actually leaves, an insistence on independence leaves us isolated, alone, and without the resources and strength that we need to thrive together. So, I think questioning how we talk about dignity is part of what this film does, reframing both dignity and disability.
Yes. What else would you like listeners to know about the film? We'll start with Reed.
Well, that's a tough one. I believe you should see it if you mm-hmm. don't know a lot about the politics of disability. If you see disability as both a medical and individual condition rather than a social construct, give this film a try. It kind of understand what disabled people have gone through at the hands of society and what they are asking for.
Yeah. What about you, Colleen?
I think I want people to know that there's something in this, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, this film has something for you and can meet you where you're at. I think that's something we're really proud of, is that we made a film that is really nuanced. And I think many different kinds of audiences will find access points to the film, into the film. So I hope that everyone will come out and see it, and it's going to be screening across the country in 10 cities this summer, kicking off in New York next week. It'll also be available virtually, and you can go to lifeafterfilm.com/screenings to find a screening near you or online.
Great. And I put the trailer up on the show blog, and the synopsis, Elizabeth's story. Reed directed it. Colleen, you produced it, and again, it's releasing at the Film Forum New York City on July 18th. I put all your information up on there as well. Who would you say are some of the audiences you would like to see this film?
There's a president and people in Congress. Mm-hmm. That's what I would really like. But I really think people who vote in elections, I would really like their pieces as the bill and see what's really at stake when we're talking about cutting Medicaid in order to benefit billionaires.
Yeah. I mean, the timing of your film release is really great.
Yeah, in a very unfortunate way, it is very fitting.
Yes, absolutely. Colleen, anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having us, though.
My pleasure, and I wish you all the best. This is a very, very powerful film. I've been speaking with Reed Davenport and Colleen. Is it Casingham?
Cassingham,
the team behind Life After, a powerful and deeply human documentary that's exploring identity, autonomy, and the legacy of Elizabeth Bouvier, a woman whose story continues to spark essential conversations about life, dignity, and choice. Thank you both so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. If you've missed any part of my conversation with Reed or Colleen, it'll be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. Again, all the information about this film is up on the show blog if you missed the beginning of our conversation. So in 1983, a disabled California woman named Elizabeth Bouvet sought the right to die, igniting a national debate about autonomy, dignity, and the value of disabled lives. And after years of courtroom trials, Bouvet disappeared from public view. Disabled director Reed Davenport narrates this investigation of what happened to Bouvet and her story's relevance today. So there's more information on the show blog, and again, the trailer's up on there as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will be back next week, and the top of the hour Pass Forward SoCal New Waver will be standing by. I'm going to leave you with a little music. If you have never listened to my show before, I have every single show, even during the pandemic, on Zoom, up on the show blog. If you want to find out about being a guest, you yourself feel like you have a story to share that would be inspiring to listeners, or you know someone, you can always send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. That's J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. Have a great week, everyone, and you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Thank you.